Welcome to another Carlo and Laidlaw Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, we've been talking for a little while about doing various people, long-term people at different sporting clubs.
Well, we did. We wanted to showcase the different sports in Gawler, but also talk to people who have been really critical. And, you know, the people who really, without them, those sports would not probably continue.
Well, how about, I've got a couple of people that were foundation members of Gawler Patonk Club.
Well, this is a great start. This is exactly what we're after.
So Stan and Glenys, what do we call you now? Stan Wilson, Glenys Head. You just got married 7 weeks ago. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll be Mrs. Wilson.
Yeah. I remember Mr. Wilson from Dennis the Menace many years ago. But now, tell
Why
us.
Why am I not laughing?
Because your sense of humour is not up to it. Okay. Just tell us a little bit about how Patonk started in Gawler. First off, we'll go to Stan.
There was a guy called Rob Fowler who started a social Patonk club up. And it grew to about 30 people, just meeting socially in one of the parks. And in 2001, they decided to open the club. And the first AGM was on the 11th of February in 2001.
So, obviously, you were a couple before the club started?
Oh, yeah.
So, tell us a little bit, Glenys, about your background in the sport. Apparently, you saw it played in French?
I saw it played in France a few times, and then we were able to get or stay with friends in the south of France, and we went out one evening and played it in their sort of back area with lights. And I was hooked. I loved it. And so when we came back to Australia at the end of 2000, I looked it up again and then we started to play. So I roped Stan in, basically.
And Stan, you haven't looked back since.
Oh, no.
And it's got you got a marriage out of it as well.
Yes, that's true.
So you could almost say it's a marriage built on Patonk.
I always worry about his jokes.
Yeah.
Patonk to me, obviously it seems a very social game. And so obviously coming from being a French game, and there's different types, I guess, or variations of the same thing from other cultures. Have you played other games similar to Patonk? Like I know some of the Italian games and et cetera that might be similar.
Yeah. Like bocce.
Bocce's the Italian. Patonk's based on lawn bowls. I've had one go at lawn bowls, couldn't do it, didn't like it, and just enjoyed playing the Patonk. It is social, it's fun, challenging, it's got all of those elements with it, and there's a lot of camaraderie when you meet people, different states here. We've met them from overseas, got friends overseas through Patonk, so it's one of those sorts of social games, but again, competitive. It depends on how you can play it at any level, basically. You can play it at a social level or you can play it at a competitive level.
Now, Stan, what's the youngest competitor and the oldest competitor at your club?
At the moment, we're probably the oldest.
We're the oldest.
And the most experienced.
And the youngest is 45. That sort of way. We had a halcyon period in the 2013 area, where we had four under-15s playing at the club, and two of them were picked to play for Australia in the Junior World Championships, which was good.
In France.
And you've had a 90-plus year old? Tell us
about 97.
Yeah.
Iris was, she was a remarkable person. She was, even though she was 90, she had eyes like an eagle. She could tell the difference between 2 millimetres and 1 millimetre difference between the ball and the jack. She used to complain when we put her playing with the 15-year-olds, saying that we've got a babysitting. but what we do in the club is we put everybody's name in a hat and you play with and against whoever's name comes out of the hat with you. So it stops the experienced players always playing with experienced players. You mix the newcomers in so that they get experience.
Now, it's interesting you saying about World Junior Championships. So, again, for someone who's a novice like me and not really aware of pétanque and what it's, I mean, obviously it is an international sport. So what in South Australia, like how many clubs are there? Is there an organised competition? How do those type of things work?
Well, if I go through the overall structure, the world governing body is called FIPJP. It's based in France. They've got 94 countries affiliated to them. They have a seat on the Olympic Committee. What they do is they delegate authority from Australia to the Australian Pétanque Federation, which currently is based in Western Australia. Then there's a state league, and within South Australia, there are 9 clubs, and the state league organises inter-club league games. There's 6 of those every year, and also state championships.
Now, Glenis, I remember, must have been about 10 years ago, the Gawler Pétanque Club played up in the Boston against the New Zealand team. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Oh, I think that was when we had them over for... what did we do?
Glenis and I went on a holiday in New Zealand. Oh. And we met up with the local pétanque playing community in South Island. Yeah. And they were saying that they wouldn't mind playing in Australia. So with their help, we organised for 32 of them to come over. Mm. And we organised for them to play pétanque in every club in South Australia. And in between games, they went off and did all the touristy bits.
That was great.
We had a great fortnight with them.
Yes, I remember at the time writing a story about it and being down there taking photos and in the lovely Barossa Valley. I couldn't believe it.
Chateau Dorion. It's a lovely place.
And I believe you didn't have to go too far for a bit of sustenance after the game.
That was all there.
All during.
So can you explain to me how the game's played? I know you've got your bowls. And you said Jack before, but... I believe, what's the correct name? The French?
Cochonnet.
My French is not good. But
yeah, which means little pig.
Now, little?
Big.
Little big.
Big.
As oink, in oink, oink. Oink. Yeah. Wow, interesting. So tell it, like, I've played lawn bowls, but I haven't played pétanque. Yeah. What, in terms of, it seems to be you're throwing the ball more than rolling the ball.
One of the features of the game is that you have to stand with your feet inside a circle, and they have to be on the ground until your balls stop moving. That's due to the origins of the game. It was invented to allow someone who got injured to participate in the games, so they changed the rules so that he could take place.
You know,
I
can just imagine with having to stay in the circle and chuck this weight across, it's probably where the hammer throw came from.
Could be, I guess. I don't know.
How much similarities.
Trouble is we're more accurate.
I'm not accurate.
Not in the Olympics.
How heavy are they, the balls?
Up to 800 grams.
Okay. So that's got to be some weight behind
it. Yeah. Mine weighs 690. The ones I use weigh 690. Yours are about 700,
710? 700,
yeah. Yeah.
Are there injuries? I mean, I've seen the way Stan throws that ball in the air. I feel like wearing a hard hat. So from your experience...
No, I haven't seen any injuries. I think many years ago there's been one person overseas somewhere who I think was hit with a ball and died. But no, you don't hear of injuries at all. Or we haven't anyway, have we?
No. Our licence gives us... personal accident coverage up to 90 years old.
So, in other words, you guys are retiring in 10 years' time.
Yeah. All being well. Yeah.
And how does a normal game work? So we're playing pétanque. If we are in teams, are we in pairs? Or how does in terms of how many rounds do we have?
We have teams of 3, and each team has 6 balls. Each player has 2 each. Or if you play in teams of 2, each one has 2 balls, 3 balls each. You toss a coin, see who goes first, and the person who goes first, or the team who goes first, place the cosh by throwing it, It has to be between 6 and 10 meters. Then that team throws the first ball, and anyone in the team can throw the first ball. Then the opposition come along, they throw their ball to try and get closer to the target than the first one. And unlike lawn bowls, in Patong, you keep on going until you've got one closer, or you run out.
Okay, Glenys, yeah. Tell us a little bit about the venues. Now, you started at Clonlea Park.
Yes, and yeah. Played on grass.
And then tell us the transition to where you've played after that.
Well, I wasn't here when they did that move, but when they moved across to Essex Park.
By the swimming center.
By the swimming center, next to the tennis courts.
Tennis courts, yep.
And we gradually we got grants and set up the pistes, which are gravel. It's much better to play on gravel, your balls will move, rather than grass or sand where they just land and that's it. So we gradually built some pistes, and then we got some shelter, got a grant and got a shelter that was put up. It was actually a carport, but we couldn't call it that. We had to call it a shelter. And
to play a Western recreation.
Yes. And then we had about 20, 25 members, I think, at that time. So we just played socially. It was a lot of them. There was Iris, who was around 90. She was probably in her 80s then. She was one of the founder members. Alan Harris was a founder member. Again, he was in his late 80s.
Alan climbed Uluru when he was 75.
Yeah, he did that. And we had one guy, or a couple, Jim and Joan Steele. Jim had a heart attack or stroke, and so he had a walking frame. So he played with one of the wheels or that on his walking frame in the circle. Yeah, we did have some fit people, but these are the old ones. So we just played socially. There was no competitive atmosphere around it. But Stan and I sort of said we wanted to play a little bit more competitive, get a little bit more involved in it. And it was a case of either going to another club or getting our club to join the State League and PFA, the Australian body. And we persuaded them to do that. So that was in 2006.
What about the move to where you are now at the Croquet Club?
That was in 2006. And in 2007, Glenys played for Australia.
Well done.
Yeah, against New Zealand, yeah. So, yeah.
Was that here in Australia?
Yeah, that was in St Kilda in Melbourne.
That would be a great experience.
It was because... with my partner in the last game, we had a mixed doubles. We were playing the last game that was all the others had finished.
The tournament goes over 2 days.
Yeah,
this
was Saturday and Sunday. Game. And they were mixed, like we had mixed triples and men's triples and ladies' triples and mixed doubles and men's and ladies' doubles over the two days. So this last game was mixed doubles. My partner and I were something like we had 2 points and the opposition, the New Zealanders, had 10. And it's the first team to 13. And Brett, my partner, he stood where I was to send the ball and made me laugh. He just stood there. And I relaxed and I was throwing, and we finished up winning 13-11 or something.
Oh, well done. Well done.
So, apparently the man of the opposite team, I can't remember his name, he still talks about it. We finished playing, it was just about dark. We had to measure to make sure who got the winning ball or who got Bull's points at the end of that. By torchlight. It was just did it. So he apparently went back to New Zealand and bought a cap and a headlight or something, because he said he wasn't going to get caught by that. So that is still a bit of a talking point. Oh,
what that, was. That meant Australia won.
We
that
won. Was. So yes, it meant that Australia beat New Zealand.
Congratulations! And just to finish off with you at the croquet club now,
We heard that the croquet club were going to be closing down. So we thought, well, that'd be great. It's just, you know, so we got permission from council to take over part of their area, which we developed with a couple of pieces, and got a sublease to the croquet club. And then short while later, they said, we're going to have to go completely. So we had to go through the process of getting a lease through council, which we did eventually get, and through the work for the Dole, we were able to move all our shelters and pieced gravel and that from Essex Park down to the croquet club. Stan was in charge of doing that. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. That's a really good first interview.
I've enjoyed finding out about Patonk, and thank you for coming in and chatting to us. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for having us.
So, in to say another Carlin Lowe Sports Show, I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.